stand and sing with me hymn number 263. We'll do all four verses of Revive Us Again.
May we pray together. Oh Lord, we ask that your presence be here with us this day. We pray that you would honor the reading of your scripture and the preaching of your word and the singing of your praises. We simply ask that you may be free to come and walk among us and do that which you desire to do in our hearts and minds this day. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading today, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, call your attention to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18, beginning in verse 37 through verses 45. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Our New Testament reading is from the book of James, James, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 16. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows
Lisa Seeley and Tim Huey for assisting me today. And Lisa, that was a powerful song, and it tells us of the power of God. You know, it's my privilege to be here in chapel today and to speak to you from the Word of God. I'm going to be speaking from 1 Kings 18 on that very subject, on our need of the power of God on our lives. Because I believe that what we need in our lives and in our churches, in our land, in our world today, is the power of God. A God-sent, God-originating revival. Not that which has been contrived or contracted by man or woman, but that which comes from Almighty God. we need more than anything else what God can do. But you know, the question that we face is, can we have this in our life? Or let's put it in the terms that we can understand. Can we have revival? Can we have an awakening, a fresh touch from God? The reason I ask this is because a lot of people ask this. As we look at the world and as we consider war and conflict and controversy on every hand, as we consider the condition of Christianity and how so many Christians are living nominal Christian lives and little time in prayer and little time in the Word of God, not actively sharing their faith and not actively serving God. And we must ask the question that in that context, in the context of this world full of fighting and war, in this world where there's even brother against brother, in this world where even those who are empowered with the gospel are not expressing it, can we have revival? Is it possible for God to remedy that situation? I believe that we will see from the Word of God that ancient Israel, that Tim, where we were reading in 1 Kings 18, that ancient Israel was also much in the same condition. They needed a remedy for their situation that could only come from God. I want you to notice something about the ancient Israel, first of all. First of all, I want you to notice the condition that they were in, the condition of the land. Whenever we read this passage, we note that what was happening here is that as Elijah prayed for rain, that this is the story in the Old Testament where there was a severe drought and famine in the land. We read in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, "There shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And then over in chapter 18, in verse 2, the famine was severe in Samaria. The famine was upon the land, and the crops had failed, and drought had come upon the land. King Ahab, if we read on, we would find that King Ahab had sent out the prophet of God, Obadiah, to find a little water and to find a little grass to feed the livestock. Things were desperate, and here they are looking for a little relief, an immediate but temporary solution to desperate circumstances. And what they really needed was not just a little water, not a stream that they hadn't discovered before, and not a little grass. What they really needed was a miracle from God, because when they found a little grass, it would soon run out. When they found a little water, it would soon run out. What they really needed was for God to rent the heavens and to pour out His blessing of a rain, of a refreshing drink from heaven. You know, I wonder as we consider the situation of the land, how it's parched and dry, I wonder how long since our souls were really refreshed by the Spirit of God. How long has it been since God has done a great and moving work in our lives, in my life, in all of us together as a community? Have we desperately sought God's solution to a parched and dry heart? You know, we like Ahab sometimes go out looking for a little grass. We go out looking for a little water. You know, we sometimes call it going to conferences or going to self-help seminars or doing things like saying that we need to find a sense of community. And we need to do those things. But I want to tell you more than that, friends, we need God. We need the power of God on our lives. You see, we spend all of our time seeking for a little grass and for a little water when we need to cry out, "Oh God, oh Lord, we pray that You would send the heavenly rains and that, Lord, that You would cure the thirst of a parched and dry land." What we need is revival. We need that which the Lord God only is able to provide. And so there was this severe drought, but besides that, the people, for the most part, had turned to other gods and ignored God's commandments. In chapter 18, in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 18, in a conversation between Elijah and Ahab, we find this, and he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." We read in verse 19 of 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. Here we see God's prophet in the minority. We see a perspective where it looked like it was sure defeat. And from a human standpoint, the situation that Elijah found himself in was pretty desperate. You know, 950 to 1 is not the best, that's not the best odds that you could have. You know, we find ourselves in a situation much like that. In the religious milieu of our world, it looks pretty desperate today. Competing religions are growing at rates faster than Christianity. Christians themselves are not expressing a vibrant faith, but instead seem to be only, as we said earlier, nominal in their commitment. Some people are more committed to Thursday night television than to God, are more committed to so many other things than God, more committed to making a living than living a life for God. And so we see that the situation today, as then, is desperate. The situation absolutely does not appear to be exactly ripe for revival, does it? It does not look good for the prophet of God. It was not the best of conditions. There was drought and famine, a forsaking of God's commandments, turning to other gods, and 950 prophets to one. Times were desperate. It was not a good time for revival. It was a bad time. But I want you to also notice the confidence that God's prophet had in God. What was the response of Elijah to the conditions of the day? Look in verses 16 through 19 of this of 1 Kings 18, beginning with verse 16. It says, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came about when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is this you, you troubler of Israel?' And he said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.'" What was Elijah's response to Ahab? It was that he believed in his God in the face of insurmountable odds. I mean, you know, Elijah stepped out on faith. One man against the king and the queen and the odds that we've already stated of their prophets to him. Now furthermore, not only did he just go out and say that I oppose you, king, but he clearly stated the problem. Now friends, sometimes that will get you in trouble. People do not like to hear what their problems are. And he clearly stated that it was the problem of having forsaking the commandments of the Lord and having followed other gods. Sometimes that we need to clearly state, before we can have revival, to clearly state and understand what our situation is and ask ourselves if we have followed the commandments of God and if we are truly seeking the one true God. As we continue, as we look in again in verse 18, notice that he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have." There will be those that will think that as you seek revival, that you are the problem instead of the solution. This was exactly the place that Elijah found himself. And you and I, though, will never have revival until we face these problems, which have brought spiritual famine, just like the parched ground was caused by the lack of rain. Elijah was so confident in God, though, that he proposed a contest. Someone said that Elijah was not really confident. Somebody said he had to be crazy. He had to be insane to undertake something like this. So he said the king was against him, the queen opposed him. He was very much in the minority with 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah. And then notice the contest that he proposes, beginning in verse 21 through verse 24. "And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him.' But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, and cut it up, and place it on the wood, and put no fire under it, And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. And then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered and said, that is a good idea. Here we, if you notice what Elijah was doing in this contest that he proposes, notice that there is no trickery involved. Notice that he is being honest before the people. Friends, as we propose revival, as we speak to a world that is parched, we need to make sure that it is not, we do not try to bring revival by maneuvering or manipulation or trickery. We need that which supernaturally comes from God. Notice that he allowed the opposition to choose its own sacrifice. There must be no thought that the contest in any way was rigged. And as we seek revival, we must be careful of the same thing, that it comes from God and not out of ourselves. The prophets of Baal went first. They cried out, the scriptures tell us, all morning, and the heavens were empty. They continued into the afternoon and into the evening, and still Baal had not answered. Verse 29 says, and it came about when midday was past that they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. And then it was Elijah's turn. In verse 30, we see that he first repairs the altar, and then he prepares the sacrifice, as we read in verse 33, as he takes the ox and he lays it on the wood in the altar, and he has dug a trench around the altar, and you can almost see him as he prepares to approach God and cry out to God to consume this sacrifice and let it be known that he alone is God. And then Elijah stops and says, bring some water. Bring some water here. In verse 33, it says, and he said, fill four pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then he says, bring four more. And then he says, bring four more. And the water was poured over the sacrifice. The wood was sopping wet and the water was running in the trench. Now, I don't know how many of you are Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but if you know anything about that, you know, every time there was a camp out, it always rained the night before. Have you ever tried to light wet wood? It's very difficult. It just doesn't burn. About all you get is just a lot of smoke. And it's just difficult to try to ignite a fire whenever the wood is wet and the material, the combustible material, just won't combust. And this was the situation that Elijah wanted to make sure was in place. Remember, the land was parched, the land was dry, things were bone dry, could go up in flame, and he didn't want anyone to assume that it was an accidental spark, but that it had to be the hand of God. Friend, what else does this teach us? That things do not have to be just right for God to work. Sometimes we say that, oh, if so-and-so would be right, if this person or that person would express their views in a different way, or if that person would get their life right before God, oh, then we could have revival. And I'm going to say that from the Word of God, that the Bible does not tell us that things have to be just right for God to send revival. It is a holy work that stems from Him. And times are never too bad for God. In fact, He specializes in bad times. He specializes in times when things do not look good, and specializes in times when everyone else is saying there can never be revival. Never count God out of it, because the minority becomes the majority when God is in something. Elijah was confident in his God. You know, he was much like the captain of the army who was facing the enemy, and all of a sudden he finds himself surrounded by the enemy. He looked around and he said, men, we're surrounded. Don't let one of them get away. That's the attitude that we need to have, and that's the attitude that Elijah had. But then we notice finally what God did, the capability of God. We find the question, is anything too hard for God? The answer is no. God can do anything but fail. God never fails. And so we see what God did, beginning when verse 36 says, "Then it came about at the time of the offering, at the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." But this is not revival. It's still not revival. Remember what God's purpose was in all of this. If you would have looked at 1 Kings 18, you would have noticed that that was God's purpose to send rain. He said to Elijah that he is to go to Ahab and that God is going to send rain. It is when God rents the heaven and pours out his precious rain upon the parched and dry lands is when revival comes. But I'll tell you one thing. This was proof of the presence of the power of God. And He had their attention. Sometimes God has to get our attention. God, though, wants to send the refreshing rain of revival. And God will send revival. But we must ask ourselves, not our neighbor, not our colleague, but we must ask ourselves, have we forsaken the commandments and have we followed the Baals? And this is not to say that God has to have perfect conditions to light revival fires. But the question does remain, is there an Elijah among us who will have confidence in the Lord and cry out, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel. And in that day, when revival comes, we'll not need to seek a little grass anymore. We won't need to seek a little water anymore, because God will rent the heavens and pour out showers of blessings and give us green pasture. Praise His name. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. And God, we pray that You would send showers of blessings. That God, that You would revive our parched and dry spirits. That God, as we look around us and in the conditions of our world, condition of our churches, and Lord, as we see how desperate the situation is, God, we thank You that You do not need the best of times to work. God, send a revival. Awaken our hearts and refresh the land. In Jesus' name, amen.